present truth, future glory. We shall be studying, God willing, the first 11 chapters of the book of Revelation. Like the book of Daniel and some other Old Testament prophetic books, Ezekiel, Zechariah, the book of Revelation consists of what Bible students call apocalyptic prophecy. Isaiah, Jeremiah, they are classical prophets. They speak the language of the people without too many figures of speech or symbols. But when you come to apocalyptic prophecy, every prediction is couched in highly complex symbols. This has been made a difference between the two kinds of prophecy, classical and apocalyptic. All the books of the Bible end in the book of Revelation. The ideas which were presented to man in the book of Genesis, the coming of the seed, thou shalt surely die, the second death, the sufferings of Christ, the glory that should follow, the tree of life taken, the tree of life restored. All these concepts stretch right across the two testaments and across the Christian era and focus at the time the book of Revelation comes into force. And so to understand the book of Revelation, we must saturate ourselves with the imagery contained in both the Old and the New Testaments. So if we get some symbol, some figure of speech around which God is clustering revealed truth, we should look back into the Old Testament for explanations. There are parts of the book of Revelation that are yet unfulfilled. Jesus says, I have told you before that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Our faith rests on fulfilled prophecy. Campbell Morgan said many years ago that he considered the book of Revelation to be divided into three parts. Chapter 1 deals with grace, chapters 2 to 20 deal with government, and the end of the chapter deals with glory. The grace, the government, the glory of Christ. There are many ways of analyzing it. This is a simple way that I think is very nice to keep in my mind. The book is a book of revelations. God is unfolding. The word revelation in the Greek is apokalypsis. The sis ending, meaning there's a process going on. The action is not complete. Apo is from, to draw the veil from. The apocalypse is the book that gives to you the procedure of drawing the veil from or unveiling Jesus Christ. He went within the veil. The book of Revelation shows us what he is doing within that veil. Blessings on those who read. The book of Revelation, verse 1, immediately suggests an intriguing idea, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We will get this genitive many times in the book, and for simple purposes, we can think of it as suggesting the subject from whom the revelation came and the object of that revelation. So the revelation of Jesus Christ can be a revelation concerning him or a revelation from him. And we will get this in the faith of Jesus and the testimony of Jesus and many ofs that come in. Let's get all the meaning we can out of a phrase. If it has a possible of two or three or four meanings, let's not say this is the meaning, but let's get all the possible meaning and see what we can get for the entire picture. Memory verse begins with the word blessed. This word, taking Genesis 1 and 2 as examples, when he blessed the whales and he blessed man and he blessed the Sabbath, blessing in the Old Testament seems to be a divine empowering to fulfill intrinsic function. What is expected, what is within the blessing enables the creature or the person or the object to fulfill the purpose that God has. So when Jesus gives to us the message that we are to be empowered to fulfill the purpose of our lives, if we read and hear and keep those things that are written in the book, this adds urgency and joy and expectation to our study. Notice the procedure of verse 1. This is a revelation from Jesus. This is a revelation about Jesus, which God gave to Jesus to show, to exhibit, to reveal, to demonstrate to his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he, that is Jesus, sent and signified it. Half of signified is sign. In the book of Revelation, we see the divine sign language by his angel, who is probably Gabriel, the angel of prophecy, to give to his servants, particularly John, this unfolding. And John bears record of the word of God, that is the word from God and the word concerning God, of God, and of the testimony of Jesus, which is about him and which is from him, the testimony of Jesus and of all things that he saw. Now later on we will have this testimony of Jesus very specifically defined. The testimony of Jesus, Gabriel tells us, is the spirit of prophecy. It comes from Jesus, and they are they which testify of me. Its focus is Jesus. Now our memory verse. Blessed is he that readeth aloud, because the next idea is they that hear, so it must be read aloud. So in church, in assembly, in family, wherever it is, read the book of Revelation aloud and let the music of its cadences bring a blessing to those who hear the words of this prophecy, and then who follow that hearing, that listening, that reading with observing, preserving, maintaining, keeping, as we keep the Sabbath, those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There is temporal urgency added to these recommendations. Now as John begins to write, because he is told, write the things which thou hast seen, verse 19, as he begins to write, the message is directed to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now there were many more than seven churches in Asia, probably. We know of at least Colossae, and Laodicea is mentioned in the book of Colossae. John specifies seven. Now, seven in Scripture indicates completeness. So this is a message directed to the complete church in its beginnings outside Palestine in the province of Asia. Grace and peace. These are very important words in the New Testament. Grace is the divine empowering that enables the weak, fallen, empty, hopeless Christian to attain the extrinsic ideal set in Jesus Christ, things that he sees outside of himself. Blessing exploits what he's got within, the talents that are given to him. Grace makes possible that which he doesn't have, which Jesus possesses. Take the story of the special prayers three times that Paul prayed for the thorn in his side, and the divine answer, my grace is sufficient. And Paul's response, I will gladly submit that the power of God might be effective in my life. And peace, peace is that relationship to Jesus Christ in which all systems within the personality of the Christian are go. Shalom. Health, wholeness. There is no unfinished business. There are no distracting ideas. There is no pressure to leave out or put in. Peace is what we get when we learn of Jesus and take his yoke and accept his rest. It comes from Jesus Christ, which was and is to come. That is the Eternal One. And from the seven spirits, which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ. So the Father, Son, and the Spirit send the message. Notice these words. The one that was, is, and will be, is the everlasting God who goes from age to age, from epoch to epoch. He is ready for everything. The Holy Spirit is complete. Jesus, God saves, Christ the Anointed One. These are the ideas. The anointed Savior. Who is the faithful witness in the judgment? He judges. He is the advocate. He is the faithful witness. He is the first begotten from the dead. This is uniquely begotten. Acts 13, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. The only being to whom God the Father gave life was God the Son of Man. Every other human being has received life from Christ. And so Jesus Christ is the first begotten or the only begotten or the uniquely begotten of the Father from the dead. And he becomes the Prince of the Kings of the earth. We see him in 19 coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He loved us. He washed us with his blood from our sins on the fountain. And he made us kings and priests. Exodus 19, 5, 6, this was the ideal that God had for Israel. They moved away from their birthright, and so to the Gentile people has been given the privilege of becoming the royal priesthood unto God, that is to say, his Father. To him be glory and dominion, which was first given to Adam in Eden, and then given to Christ as the first piece of business in the judgment in Daniel 7. He will receive it ultimately in its fullness when he establishes kingdom of glory. Amen. So be it. This is the response of the church. Behold, he cometh with clouds, as Jesus himself said, probably clouds of angels, and every eye shall see him, including those who pierced him, in a special resurrection just at the time of the second advent. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. So from among every person, every kindred, there will be those who will be lost. Notwithstanding that, the pluses of the second coming of Christ overrule, supervene, we say even so, Amen. So let it be. And Jesus now declares, I am Alpha and Omega. These are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. By means of the Greek alphabet, every word of the New Testament has been written. We might say in English, I am A to Z. Jesus is the divine alphabet out of which deity constructs the Word of God, made up of the words, the articulated segments of that revelation. He is the divine alphabet that constructs every word that comes from God. He is the beginning and the ending. The force of these words are verbal. He is the first cause. He is the consummation. Alpha and Omega is different from beginning and ending. He is the summation, the divine alphabet for the revelation of the Word of God. He is also the beginner and the ender of our faith. Saith the Lord, the one who is our boss, Kyrios, which is, which was, and which is to come. He too, like his father, is age old. And he is the ruler of all, Pantokrator. All things are put into his hands. He will control all things as far as man's destiny and life are concerned. And so as we think of the opening study of this quarter's lessons, our minds are focused fairly and squarely on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all, in all, the revelation of all, the consummator of all, and our saving Jesus.